Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16 and 20 through 24. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out, as shepherds seek out their flocks when they are among their scattered sheep. So I will seek out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places which they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the watercourses, and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. But the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, shepherd, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. And as we often say when we have familiar scriptures, I encourage you to listen with new ears, to hear what this particular scripture lesson has to say to you. Hear these words from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it we saw you hungry and gave you food, thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous and do eternal life. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God. As I said, familiar words. Not so much the ones in Ezekiel, but if you think about the words in Ezekiel, they're very similar to these in Matthew 25. One of the differences is, in Ezekiel, God's going to do it. God's going to feed them. God's going to lead them back. But in Matthew, Jesus has a challenge. Jesus has a challenge to everybody who's in hearing and to those today that we are called to feed God's sheep. This scripture, it's so easy to read it literally that it's all about feeding and clothing, and we often use it that way, and that's a very important part of it. But if you really think about this scripture, it's about social justice. Jesus lived in a time where there was such division. The rich were rich and powerful, and the poor were not. And often they got poorer because as things happened, the rich would take what they had. They would tax them to where they got even poorer. They would have a famine and a drought, and they would lose what little they had. And so Jesus is saying to his disciples, to all that will listen, you are challenged to do God's work in the world, to feed the hungry, to clothe the poor, but more especially to do social justice, to make change. In the Presbyterian Church today, this verse has become very important. Matthew 25 has become a central teaching of the church. And churches and presbyteries and synods are all encouraged to consider becoming Matthew 25 churches. Churches that are centralized in learning about justice and how we can make a difference. Because today is Gifts of Women Sunday, I thought one of the things I would do is I would emphasize how some women have made a difference, how they have sought to make a difference in the world and, yes, to bring about social justice. One of those is in Scripture. One of my favorite stories in the Old Testament, the book of Ruth. Ruth was a widow. So was her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. In that day, that left them so vulnerable. Women just weren't on their own. They would go from being under the protection and control of their fathers to being under the protection and control of their husbands. And so when they were a widow, especially a young widow as Ruth was, it would be normal for them to go back to their father. But here you had three women, an older woman and two younger women, who were widowed, which meant they had no resources. And so the older woman, the mother-in-law, decided she would go back to Bethlehem. And she entreated her daughter-in-laws to go back to their fathers, where tradition would say they should go. And one did. But Ruth chose to follow her mother-in-law to Bethlehem, a country where she would be not only a widow with no resources, but also a foreigner, an alien. And so they did. And Ruth spent her time going out gleaning wheat so that her and her mother-in-law could survive. And lo and behold, because of her actions, how she treated her mother-in-law and how she lived, she was seen by a relative of her husband and wed and became a mother in the lineage of David. She could easily have gone back to her father according to the customs of her time, but she made a difference because she stepped out in courage. In 1849, there's a woman named Elizabeth Blackwell. who was a teacher, but she wanted to be more. And she had a relative who got sick, who said to her, "You know, if I had had a woman doctor, I probably would have done better." There were no women doctors in the United States at that time. And so Elizabeth Blackwell made the decision she wanted to become a doctor. She applied to medical school after medical school and was turned down one after another. And finally, through her persistence, she got into a medical school and she became the first medical doctor in the U.S. Not only being able as a woman to treat other women, but also changing the systems. After her, many women became doctors, and now there are many women doctors. One woman working for social justice to change the system. Women have long been a part of the church. In fact, Jesus, in his time, women had little or no status, and yet he brought them into the inner circle of his followers. And yet the church still did not bring them in as full leadership in the church. The Presbyterian Church in 1956 ordained its first woman minister, Margaret Ellen Towner. That was in the Northern Presbyterian Church. That was actually before there was the PCUSA. There was still the two divisions. The South Presbyterian Church didn't ordain a woman until several years later. But she stood up and made a difference. She stepped forward and overcame the challenges of women being in leadership in the church. The first church she served, where she was ordained to, she was never invited to lead in worship or to preach. She was okay as a Christian educator, but she still kept going and finally was called to a church where she could be the full leader and lead worship and preach. She stepped out to make a difference in the world. In 1955, a woman named Rosa Parks made a difference. At that time, buses in Montgomery, Alabama were totally segregated. The whites to the front, the blacks to the back. And Rosa Parks was sitting where she was supposed to in the black section. But the white section got filled. And so the driver asked her and three other people to move out of their row, which was immediately behind the white row, so he could extend the white section by one more row. Three of the people got up and moved. But Rosa Parks had had enough. She was tired of being treated like a second-class citizen. So she refused to move and was arrested and tried. And out of that decision of hers to stand up for social justice, the Montgomery by a bus boycott started, a year-long boycott against the buses, when 70% of the riders prior to that were black. She made a difference, and things began to change. Not quickly. She lost her job because of it, and there was some violent times to come. But she had the courage to stand up against the social injustice she saw and make a difference. In 1960, a six-year-old girl was chosen to be the first black child to go to William France Elementary School in New Orleans. Her parents had had her tested to see if she was eligible because they tried to get around the desegregation rules by saying the blacks weren't capable of operating in their schools, but she passed the test. Her parents had made the decision. Her father was a little leery of it, but her mother was adamant that they wanted to be a part of changing the social justice system that was making it difficult for blacks to get a good education. And so she arrived at school. A six-year-old girl in clothes that were bought for her by a woman who wanted to make it easier for her because her family could not afford nice clothes. She was escorted by four marshals into the school. That people were throwing things at her and calling out names. All teachers but one refused to go to school as long as there was a black child enrolled in that school. And all the white parents pulled their children out of the school. And yet she went. And the one teacher who had agreed to teach her taught her. Within a few days, some of the white students began to come back and the teachers. But for the rest of that year, Ruby Bridges was in a class by herself, taught individually by a teacher, never allowed to fully integrate for that first year into the school. But she persisted as a six-year-old child, and she spent the rest of her life, in fact, she is still alive, working for social justice, to make a change in the world that has had so little equality often for blacks. She grew up in a world where there was that division, and she decided that she wanted to fight against it. There was one other person I came across that I'd like to share a story for you. Those others that I mentioned, you've probably heard of at least in passing. But there was one I came across that just amazed me, and her name was Mildred Lizette Norman. She was born in 1908 in a small town in New Jersey, and she grew up on a chicken farm. She graduated top of her high school class and then went to work as a secretary and was doing very well at it. She wore nice clothes and she had a good social life. She got married, but then she got divorced. And out of all that, she began to question her life. It didn't feel very full. In fact, it felt very unfulfilling. So she started to walk, and she spent a lot of time in meditation, praying, trying to decide how she could live her life better, how she could make a difference. And one day, as she was walking the Appalachian Trail, she had a vision of the map of the United States with a crayon drawing a line on it. Now, she had been very affected by World War II. She had seen the devastation and the pain that was caused by it. So she really was concerned about war, and the time of the Korean War was now upon them, and she just didn't understand how we could continue having war. And so when she saw this vision of the map, she came up with an idea. She was going to start walking for peace. She changed her name to Peace Pilgrim. And she spent several years preparing because she was going to make these walks with virtually no financial help or resources. And so she learned how to eat in the wilderness. She spent more and more time walking, preparing to be living outside. And after several years, in 1953, at the age of 44, she began her first walk in front of the Rose Bowl Parade on New Year's Eve. She walked out at the front of the parade. She was wearing a blue shirt that she had made that said Peace Pilgrim. And on the back, it talked about walking 25,000 miles. For the next 28 years, this woman walked. She crossed the United States 7 times, constantly sharing a message of peace. She would stop and speak at places. She would stop and speak to individuals along the trails, along the roads, along the towns. One Sunday, she preached 7 sermons in 7 different churches. She spoke to crowds as small as 5 and as large as 5,000. She carried nothing with her but her toothbrush and a comb and pamphlets that talked about peace. And she became better and better known. She made a difference, and out of this, people began to spread the message of peace. She made a difference. She died at the age of 72. She was getting a ride to speak at a place, and the car was in an accident, and she was killed. An amazing woman that probably most of us have never heard of. I actually found out about her from a book, a children's book that I was told about that we have back in the children's area now. So I encourage you all, when you get a chance, to read more about her. I went online and found out more about her, but she's an amazing woman who made a decision, and she considered what she did her prayer. She believed every time she talked to somebody, she was offering up a prayer to God, a prayer for peace. Women with special gifts. There are many others I could mention, people like Irina Sendler, who, a Christian woman in the Nazi era, who rescued many, many children from the ghettos. Because of her, those children lived. She brought them out of the ghettos and found families to care for them, kept records. In our book group a couple years ago, we read about her in our book group, a book called Life in a Jar. Greta Thunberg, a young teenager who is speaking all over the world to make a difference with the environment, to address another social justice issue. Teachers, mothers, doctors and nurses, first responders, social workers, and the list goes on. There are many issues in this world that can be addressed. And it takes all of us to make a difference. Justice is everybody's job. And not just women, but also men. But today was all about the women and the amazing things they've done, often in conditions that make it difficult for them to do what needs to be done. Today, I invite you all to think about the women in your lives that have made a difference. Be it your mother, a special teacher. If they're not alive, say a prayer to thank them. If they are alive, take the opportunity to thank them for how their gifts have made a difference in the world. Because this is what Jesus calls us to do in Matthew 25. To spread justice throughout the world. Amen. Do some homework for this week. To think of those women in your life that have made a difference and thank them. Whether it be in prayer, whether it be in person. But more importantly, think of ways that you can make a difference in the world. Do you know that on average women still make much less than men do? The last statistic I saw was about 70%. Doesn't mean every woman makes only 70%, but on an average. So when you see messages like that, that show injustice, think of ways you can make a difference. Can you write your legislature? When you see a woman being mistreated, how can you make a difference? Because we are called to do social justice. And those are all social justice issues. And that is what Jesus has called us to do. To look for ways to make a difference in the world. And so this week, go out. Spread God's love. Spread God's peace. And do the work that Jesus called us to do. The peace of Christ be with you. And also.